This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Say thanks for being with us. We have a busy weekend coming up. Some really interesting stories. Herm Edwards is going to visit this weekend with Ray Anderson, one of many names. When there is a coaching search, I can sit here for the next hour and throw out a whole bunch of names that are out there. You have to look at the agents that are feeding you those names and say, what is their agenda here? Is they just want to get their guy's name in the mix? You have to look at a name like Herm Edwards and say, does this really fit? Uncheck all of the boxes, and can you make that argument? Is it such out-of-the-box thinking by Ray Anderson that it's actually a brilliant move rather than just the initial knee-jerk, oh my gosh, 120 characters, this is horrible, it's the worst thing ever, and all that nonsense. So we're going to have Jake Plummer is going to be with us on the show today here in a bit, and Michael Fabiano is going to be with us for our weekly fantasy football segment because we're in the last week of the regular season. And most importantly, my team is in first place. I don't know how many of you have your teams in first place, but I need some help. I am not going to screw this one up. So we'll go to the NFL Network with Michael Fabiano and Jake Plummer. There's a couple of other things that we are working on. At 11:05, we'll have Talk to the Lopes with GCU men's basketball assistant coach TJ Benson. We talk Grand Canyon University every Wednesday. And then at 11:15, Jordan and Haley will have their Friday night 360 AZ high school football preview show. 4A, 5A, 6A championship games all Saturday in Tucson. So we have a busy, busy couple of hours coming your way. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind brought to you by Sagicor. Guys, protect what matters most. If you don't have your life insurance done, consider Sagicor. Sagicor now. Go to sagicornow.com. Get things taken care of. Sagicor for your insurance needs. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. All right. So I got up this morning, and the Herm Edwards stuff, it's fine. It's going to fill reams of paper. It's going to get lots of clicks. It's going to get lots of views. And depending on who you talk to, whose opinions I trust, as I formulate this and play through it, this is pretty early in the process. So I'll get into it as the show progresses. Matt Lauer got fired. Eric, you are a Today Show vet. Like, this is big news today. Matt Lauer got fired.
He got fired.
And ESPN started their layoffs. 150 people ESPN blew out this morning. They are cheering about nobody likes to see people let go. But the minute that ESPN announced they blew out 150 people this morning, then Matt Lauer gets fired, ESPN's like, yes.
Yeah, I don't like seeing anyone lose their job.
No.
But that's, you know, I wasn't totally shocked to hear that because we've just
why had, is that with Matt Lauer? Well, I've heard that in a lot of places.
But it's
this
just
morning.
Been the theme between TV personalities and politicians and just the whole, you know, the Kevin Spacey mess.
There's Charlie Rose.
There's all these huge celebrities, for lack of a better term, that are just getting busted, or people are now coming forward with, hey, so-and-so did this to me, and you should look into it. And then these big businesses and companies start looking into it. And yeah, that's that. You can't do that in the workplace.
Matt Lauer is the number one trending item in our country. Matt Lauer is the number one trend by a long, long, long. And the Today Show is trending too. This is a day where the Avengers trailer came out. So, you know, for Matt Lauer to take one, he was making $20 million a year. They just brought Megyn Kelly in from Fox. So, of course, I'm looking at the whole business side saying, well, if Megyn Kelly makes $8 million, $6 million, $10 million, I don't believe she was making $20 million. And, you know, Bill O'Reilly got blown out, too. So all of this stuff, this happened in 2014 in Sochi, where it was a person working as part of the NBC production team who claimed that Matt Lauer was inappropriate. And I'd heard this morning that Variety was working on, from two different of their highest-end writers, a big Matt Lauer piece over the last 2 months. And maybe it just came to a head, but Yeah, Savannah Guthrie was crying on the air this morning, trying to keep it together, and it was...
She was weepy. I wouldn't say that she was, like, flat-out bawling, but she was weepy.
Okay, she was weepy on it. What's the difference between weepy and crying?
Well, it wasn't like, oh, Matt Lauer's gone. She was just sniffly. She was emotional.
Are you trying to protect her?
No.
Giving good context? I was listening to it on
Sirius. I'm a fan of Savannah Guthrie. She's from State 48. She's one of ours. So.
If it would have been, what was her name? Ann Curry would have bawled. Ann Curry would have just curled up into a ball in the corner, and that would have not been good.
I'd love to know who they're thinking about replacing Matt Lauer with, because those are big shoes to fill.
$20 million.
Big seat to fill.
I would think Lester Holt does such a good job and is so underrated at what he does in the evening. I would think today's show could actually evolve into something that it's not been. Megyn Kelly, they put her in that 9 a.m. slot. If they put Hoda and Kathy Lee on there, I am going to off myself.
What about Carson Daly? Do you think he's been too typecasted as the
I think he's tried to get
guy?
Out of that. I think he's tried to get out of that, right? None of us want to be... Like, I read news when I was at 3. A couple times they had me do the 11 a.m. show, just tested me out. I was with Olivia. So I put my head on her, or I put my elbow on her head. And, Olivia's over there doing the mornings at 3. Brad Perry was doing the weather. They had the three of us, and they were typing it, trying to get me out of being sports guy, which is fine. I would love to do news as long as it wasn't filtered and it was news. It wasn't crapola like a lot of this stuff is. Here's what's trending. Really, that's not news. It's something to use as a metric. I would go all female. Because morning TV, for the most part, is the last bastion that is left that people are watching regularly. Because they do want to know what's going on. That's just me. If you're all wound up about Herm Edwards, if all you are is wound up that this is your coach, then I don't think you've been through coaching searches before. I really don't. Players that want to get their names out or help out others, Ray represented Herm. People want to connect that dot. That's fact. It did happen. But does that mean that he's going to be hired as the head football coach? You know, Herm wants to come out here and is going to come out here this weekend and visit. Does that mean he's going to be hired as the head football coach? Ray Anderson's only going to focus in on one guy who's coached the Under Armour game for the last 7 years. That's not what Ray Anderson's going to do. Of all the names that have been thrown out there so far, to me, the one that seems to make a lot of sense, well, there's a bunch of them, but Hugh Jackson's name to me makes sense because it connects the past. And that doesn't mean that you should make the hire. And yeah, he's getting his head kicked in Cleveland, but everybody gets their head kicked in Cleveland. And Hugh Jackson, last time I checked, did a really good job with Andy Dalton at Cincinnati. And the last time I checked, Hugh Jackson made Jake Plummer into the best quarterback that he could possibly be when he was here. So there's the link to the Rose Bowl, which makes sense. If you don't buy into that, if you're one of those that A plus B equals C, then I just don't think you want to take coaching searches serious. You just want it to be Kevin Sumlin because he's coached, or you want it to go be a guy who's out there in the college space. Ray's trying to do something different. Is there anything wrong with that? Remember when Hurley got hired? And there were some of you that were just dead set against a coach from Buffalo rather than, no, he's a teacher. I mean, I'd like to see Bobby Hurley's dad in some capacity with ASU because he's not doing what he'd done for years and years. I have been so much further ahead on the growth of the basketball program and feeling good about it than I've been on football for the last few years. I didn't hate Todd. It was just really clear from events that I was at that Todd and Ray just weren't together. And 2 weeks ago, a lot of you wanted Ray or Todd fired. And because he beats U of A, so what? So what? What's gone on in the last 48 hours has been an awakening of ASU in a good way. It really has been in a good way what's gone on here. There's been constructive dialogue. Yeah, there's some of you that just think you've got it all figured out and you want to just say that this was all bad and that they should go hire this guy or that guy. It's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, even if it's the wrong one. All right. So, you know, as the show progresses today, I think we want to bring you some voices. And up next, Jake Plummer is going to be the next voice that you hear after these commercial breaks. I wanted to have Jake on because I just think it's time to hear from one of the leading voices of the football program. And oh, by the way, the last time they went to the Rose Bowl, this was the guy. It's like having Jeff Van Raphorst on Monday. There are just certain players you need to hear that are objective enough, and they're not losing their minds over this. And we'll have Jake Plummer. That's next. I'm Brad Sesmat. All right, I want to do a deep dive here on where we're at with the Arizona State head football coaching search. You know, Herm Edwards has confirmed he's going to come out here and interview. I think Hugh Jackson is a name that they should look at. Kevin Sumlin's name has been out there. I think there's several other names that I'm not going to throw around, but the agent community believes that Ray is either going to meet with in other parts of the country. That's how these things play out. I want to get the view, though, from someone whose opinion I value, who carries a lot of weight when it comes to Arizona State, because he is the last quarterback to lead this program to a Rose Bowl, which at the end of the day, winning 5, 6, 7 games and going to places like Las Vegas and El Paso, no offense to those people, that's not what needs to happen here. I was here when Jake Plummer took the team to the Rose Bowl, covered Jake when he did it. And that's where this program should be in contention every year or thereabouts. So I asked Jake to come on just to give his view on how things are going. And I appreciate the quarterback jumping on board. How are you?
I'm doing good, Brad. Thanks for reaching out, man.
Yeah, I think it's time. I just want to hear your view of... I want to hear your view on, first of all, Todd Graham being let go after beating up on U of A, finishing second in the pack, and just being let go, because down here it is a split community on the whole deal, mostly on the side of Ray Anderson made a mistake in letting Todd Graham go.
You know, it's hard. That'll all play out. I mean, and we don't really know if it's a mistake or not. I like having solidarity, and, you know, having Todd there for 6 years was going towards that route, you know, having a coach that was going to work through the ups and downs, have a bad season, maybe not a bad season, but a little bit of a down season, you know, once in a while. But, you know, like Ray is searching for, be competitive in the Pac-12, be in the hunt every year for that South representation in the Pac-12 title game. And, you know, I really enjoyed Graham's energy. I really enjoyed his passion for the game. You know, he put a lot of work, a lot of effort into getting that stadium renovation in motion and done. So what he did was made ASU a lot better by being there. I truly feel he did a really amazing job, him and his staff. I have to mention Gene Boyd, who yep. played with me when I was a freshman, who's done the Scholar Ballers. And, you know, he raised their GPA, the team GPA. He really made an effort to make these kids aware that football is huge. Football is your life when you're in college and a big part of your life. But once you're done, you know, life takes over, and it's how you treat people, how you interact with people, and how you are as a human. And I think he really did a good job of convincing those kids that, hey, you're a superstar on this campus, but treating people the right way. Because I could tell when I went to the building years prior as opposed to when Graham was there, he really made sure those kids, you know, carried themselves in the right way to represent Sun Devil football. So I think that he did some great things. I wasn't too happy about the 2 years prior to this year, you know, where they didn't finish strong. They really got handled by our rival down south. Yet they were still going to bowl games with losing records. I still, you know, I think that's an issue the NCAA needs to work on. But this year, I thought, you know, with the writing kind of not on the wall, but with Ray Anderson there with his pen ready to do it, mm-hmm. I thought that they responded. They started a little sluggish, lost a game or two they shouldn't have, but they really bounced back, and I think that shows, you know, good coaching. Whether it was him completely or his staff, you know, that shows me that there was good things happening there, and I was a little shocked to see him let go. But with him being let go comes a little bit of an excitement, another chance for a refresher, hit the refresh button and see who they bring in. And all the candidates you mentioned, you know, they're all great coaches. You know, come in and coach, get these guys ready to play, get the recruits you need. There's no reason ASU shouldn't be competing every year for that Pac-12 title. And I believe Ray Anderson's vision is one that's what we should expect as fans and alumni and former players. We want to see that team being included in the college football playoff talk as often as possible.
I wrote last week, Gene Boyd is the MVP that no one knows about. within the program because of what he is doing. And I know that that falls on some deaf ears, but I think it is something that there should be the exclamation point by. I think, Jake, beating U of A as they beat U of A, it was done convincingly. They did knock out their quarterback, Khalil Tate. There was a lot of buzz, but right before kickoff, the story comes out that Graham believed that he was going to be fired. So there was not the jubilation of beating U of A. There was the disbelief of, We just beat the rival, and you're firing this guy? So I don't know how that played with you. As I'm sure you paid attention to the U of A result. And then the next day, Todd's fired. Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I don't like any time that, you know, stuff gets out that shouldn't. You know, when I was playing my last year, you know, word got out that if we didn't win against Kansas City, that I was getting benched, regardless of how I played. And that was just, it's tough. You go into a game and to go do your job that you're preparing for, yet to have something like that looming. You know, maybe that's really what happened, that why they came out. I know that come out and exploded in the third quarter, that has a lot to do with, you know, coaching. Mm-hmm. Coming out of halftime and putting it on teams. I know that when we were rolling in that last year, when we came out of halftime, we could look back. I don't know how it went, but out of all those games, we came out and scored in the third quarter with our first drive almost every time. And that was just great coaching, breaking down the team we were playing, finding something to take advantage of when we came out at halftime. And maybe that halftime locker room was more or less, you know, Graham telling those guys, pouring his heart out to them, saying, let's go out in style. This is my last game here. And that was just a reflection of how that team feels about their coach. I'm not there day to day, and I'm not in those meetings, but I know every time that I did walk into that building, Graham brought an energy level and an enthusiasm to the game. And he talked a lot about it. You know, I mean, he was a guy of many words. But you know, they backed it up this year. I think that it's hard to see, you know, a coach get fired after a winning season and beating the rival. But we all understand this business that it's become in the NCAA, the money that's out there when you don't win, the money you lose. You know, there's just football teams drive these institutions. And so I tip my hat to Ray Anderson for sticking to his guns and coming out and going in the path that he believes is right. And whoever they bring in, you know, to fill that void, you know, I just want to have a guy that's going to teach these guys how to play football and how to play it right, play with passion and play hard and, you know, recruit the right type of players. You know, you don't have to get every recruit right, but you got to get at least three or four every year that are trendsetters. You know, the Scott Vonderahe types, the Brent Bernsteins, local guys. You got to get the Pat Tillman type guys. You got to get those dudes that can – do the work for you as a player to change that environment and to excel on the field. And I think all the names that you brought up are all great coaches. When you mentioned Hugh Jackson, I mean, he was my coach, quarterback coach, when I really made a step and learned how to become a quarterback, learned how to study right, learned how to watch film, had a proper drop and mechanics. I mean, he really did a lot for my advancement and evolution as a quarterback. So when you bring up names like that, you know, it rekindles the past and would immediately have a tie to the alumni that were around when we did go to the Rose Bowl last. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whoever you do bring in, I'm not involved in this more, as much as I just want to see them bring in somebody. I mean, even Herm Edwards, the guy has a ton of energy. He's a real stand-up dude who has a lot of you know, morals and convictions that I think these young kids need. They need somebody that's going to keep them in line with all the distractions they have. And like I said, whoever they bring in, you know, I'm going to be a supporter of, you know, and Todd, I'm sure will be good. I'm glad he gave us some real good years. And what he did to get that stadium renovated and the new facilities is going to really help in recruiting. And that's really the battle now, is to compete with all these other teams that are redoing their stadiums and having all the bells and whistles for these recruits. He got that done. So all in all, his stint here was very successful.
Talking with Jake Plummer, have you thought about lobbing a call, text? Have you lobbed calls, text to people saying, I'd support this or that on this hire? Some alums are doing that and being very, very outward about it. I know if I mentioned Hugh Jackson to you, I'm sure you would say, as you just talked glowingly about him, you'd be happy with that hire. Are you willing to endorse a few guys on this one, Jake?
Well, it's hard to endorse a few, you know, because, you know, if they do call. But I have a close relationship with Coach Jackson. So, I mean, if he did come into the mix, of course I'm going to lend my support to him. How would I not? He helped me become the player I am and has always been there for me and supported me through my years. And I don't go out outwardly to voice my opinion on what should happen and where they should go with the hire. More or less, I'm there to support what they do. But like I mentioned, the alumni, you bring those guys back, you give them a reason to come back, then good things, you know, are bound to happen. And, you know, Hugh's a great coach. We've seen that. I don't know. If I was him, I'd be wanting to get out of Cleveland.
That's a good way to put it.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, regardless, you know, if Ray reaches out to me and it needs me for anything, I'm always here. I'm always here to help my Sun Devils. Always available to do anything for them if they need it. You know, if I lived there, I'd be more involved, but I don't, so I'm as involved as I can be.
Have you seen Ray's comments about how he wants to keep the offensive coordinator, Billy Napier, in place and Phil Bennett, the defensive coordinator, and that whoever comes here has to take them in as part of this? That has not been met well by most people observing it. This is very an unorthodox way of going about it. What's your reaction to that side of the story, Jake?
You know, it's hard to let go of a coach like Napier. I think he's a really bright, brilliant young offensive mind that, you know, if you keep him around, the only thing for me is that he might only be here for one more year,
right,
and he's off to be a head coach. So it's tough. You know, like Norvell, when he was here, he was such a bright young coach with a lot of great ideas and abilities to get his players out on the field prepared and ready to play. And now look what he's doing at Memphis. And that's a name no one's really brought up, but I believe, gosh, he's a candidate for sure. He's a great, bright, young coach that can come in here and get the guys in the right position. But that's a tough position. A head coach usually wants to be in control and make his decisions and not be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the battle of egos there is going to have to be worked out between Ray and whoever he brings in. And, you know, a guy like Herm Edwards, I'm sure he'd be just fine with having a Billy Napier there because he's a great coach. And if he wasn't a great coach – And Ray was endorsing these guys, and I'd have an issue. But I think he's endorsing two, you know, really quality coaches that wouldn't hurt to keep around for solidarity and recruiting purposes, and not having to change your system up because we saw what happened with that offense. They started clicking late in the season, and people out there think, you know, you put in an offense and all of a sudden it's like baking cookies. They come out perfect. No way, man. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, countless hours, sometimes a year or even 2 years to get everything in place to function at a high level, and I think keeping Billy around would be a good idea.
It's good to hear your voice. Anything new on your end outside of football? You're just chasing kids at this point in your life?
Yeah, man, chasing kids and then continuing to try to, you know, grow the Ready List Pro, the interactive playbook, and it's going well.
That's good.
It's a fun time right now to get out and get in front of these people and hopefully give them a tool that can help them perform better on the field and raise up the IQ level of all these football players. So, yeah, other than that, Brad, I'm just enjoying life, man.
Good deal, man. Next time you're down, let's go chase a golf ball. I appreciate your time as always.
Anytime, Brad. Thank you, man. You take care.
There's Jake Plummer with us from up in Boulder. Appreciate his side on what he sees with Arizona State. That's really good stuff there with Jake. Really good. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it's time for all things fantasy football, although I think I'm going to call this segment with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer from the NFL Network, from now on the Bash Dak time. That's it. Bash Dak time. Because I open the mailbox, and here's what I get. Should I trust in Dak heading into this week? After the last two games, how in the world would you keep playing Dak? Those are the first two of dozens of Dak Prescott hate. And because Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, is so good on the Cowboys, and every team for that matter, I know that you'll seamlessly say, of course you should keep playing Dak, right?
Well, if I did say that, I would get
crushed.
A whole lot of people telling me I'm a homer. And, you know, occasionally I admit to that, but averaging 5 points in his last three games, turning the ball over way too much, and from what I've heard from people I know around the Cowboys, And the team right now is in a bit of disarray. The offensive line hasn't been as good this season. And people forget, you know, you lose, you know, Doug Free and Leary to free agency. That's going to hurt. Ezekiel Elliott is clearly not there. Now, at some point, there's going to be a game where Dak looks like Dak. With 1 week left in most fantasy regular seasons and potentially a playoff berth on the line, I can't really run that risk. So if you have, and I'm talking about players you can pick up off the waiver wire or maybe you have recently, Josh McCown, Case Keenum, Jared Goff.
Big Blaine Gabbert.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know if I want to do that either. But I mean, there are players that you can pick up. Tyrod Taylor. Hopefully somebody out there picked him up a couple of weeks ago because he's not taking a backseat to Nathan Peterman anytime soon, and he's got a really good schedule the rest of the season. So there are alternatives to Dak. And unlike, say, Dez Bryant, who's got a bad matchup this week, who isn't 100%, is not performing up to par, it's harder for fantasy owners to find someone to replace a Dez than it is a Dak just because of the nature of the two positions. So I have Dak in three leagues. I have one league where I'm probably going to play him because it's a super flex league, and I'd rather start a quarterback there than a running back or a wide receiver. And then the other two leagues, he's on the bench. I'm starting Phillip Rivers in one league, and I'm going to start Tyrod Taylor in the other.
Mm, you're not starting Geno Smith, huh?
I'm starting the Raiders defense. I mean, that is a lock. There's no doubt about that. The Raiders defense is very streamable this week. In fact, one of our researchers here found that right now, Geno Smith is the best matchup for a fantasy defense. Defenses in his career have averaged almost 11 points against him. And the Raiders defense coming off a pretty decent performance last week, although, you know, the whole fight and everything was a disaster, but their defense didn't play bad from a fantasy perspective.
Talking with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, right there at the NFL Network. You can check out his content on the NFL Network and, of course, at NFL.com. Let me stick with defenses for a minute. We have not really talked about them this year, and I do have questions about from fans from the mailbag on certain teams. We're in that time of season where the weather becomes a factor on the East Coast and just around the country in certain spots. We have bad teams like Cleveland playing San Diego this week, but Josh Gordon is coming back. What is your strategy in streaming defenses every week this time of year? I have Jacksonville. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stick with Jacksonville till I die. But what's your strategy?
Okay. Well, that's a long commitment there, my friend.
Yeah, I know.
But streaming defenses has become extremely popular in the last few years, and I mentioned the Raiders. They are a perfect example of a streaming defense. The Chargers, who are actually from Los Angeles now, my friend, not San Diego. I have corrected Akbar Bajabiamil on our show a few times about that, and considering he played for the Chargers at one point in his career, it's kind of hilarious. But they're not a streaming defense anymore because you just start them, and they're playing the Browns, and you start them. The Steelers defense, I don't know if they're a streaming option, but you start them. The Titans are a streaming option this week. Get them into your lineup. The Bears, even against Garoppolo and the Niners, the Bears at home. The Denver Broncos have been awful this year offensively. The Miami Dolphins suddenly are a very good streaming option. So those are some of the better choices based on the matchups that you can play. And unless you have the Jags or unless you have maybe the Rams, who have been good all season. Lately, they haven't been as good, but I like the matchup this week. Sorry, Cardinals fans, but you are streaming defenses week in and week out, and typically it's a pretty good strategy. Nothing is ever foolproof, because if it was, I'd get a lot more compliments on Twitter, and fantasy football wouldn't be as much fun, but those are some of the defenses that you should be looking to pick up this week in play.
So I have one from the mailbag, Baltimore D or Oakland D this week. You've got to go Oakland, right?
You know what? That's a close one. I'm probably going to go Baltimore there. They've been really good. And I get it that, you know, the Lions have a good offense, but you know, the Lions on the road sometimes, and they're playing outdoors, not as spectacular as they are when they are inside the comforts of a dome. So Ravens there, but it's close.
Sticking with the mailbag, how does Michael see the return of Josh Gordon and Jimmy Garoppolo impacting their game's fantasy value this week?
So Gordon is a stash. I don't want to play him this week. He hasn't played since 2014. And the talent there alone makes him worth picking up, seeing what happens. Because you still have, 4 weeks left in the fantasy season. So maybe he can help you at some point. But I don't know that I'd do it this week against the LA Chargers. Garoppolo, certainly rosterable in deeper leagues and in super flex, two QB leagues. Better option than the Niners have thrown out there in a while, let's put it that way. And I don't know that he's going to come out and be the world beater that his mentor Tom Brady is and has been throughout most of his career, but he comes from Brady, Belichick, and the real downer there in San Francisco is, you know, Pierre Garçon's out for the season. Right. They don't have a lot of talent in terms of pass catchers. Carlos Hyde's been very good out of the backfield. But Garoppolo, based on the matchup, could be a sneaky play at some point during the rest of the season. I'm very interested to see how he comes out and performs as the starter for the Niners, because we all know they made a pretty big investment in him making that trade. And Garoppolo's been a guy a lot of teams have been talking about over the last two or three years, waiting for the Broncos to trade him. They finally pulled the trigger. And we'll see if he is as good as a lot of people think he can be. But I wouldn't play him this week outside of some of those unusual super flex 2 QB leagues.
What am I supposed to do with T.Y.?
Sit him. And that's the bottom line. I had him as a start last week because the matchup was ridiculously good. He can't get it done, and it's not T.Y. Yeah. It's the quarterback position. It's Andrew Luck's absence has sapped him of any value. And he's got an awful schedule down the stretch. This week, he's got the Jags. I would start you.
Really?
Over T.Y. this week,
wow.
Okay? I've
Dang.
Seen you run routes. I think I can get six out of you.
Hobble.
And
grab the
Achilles. You've also got matchups against Baltimore coming up. I mean, his schedule is just the epitome of brutal at the wide receiver position. So I don't know that you can play T.Y. the rest of the season, honestly. Maybe there's one, maybe against Buffalo potentially next week you can play him, but it's an outdoor game. It's on the road. And then after that, you're looking at matchups that you just don't throw a wide receiver out who's got a quarterback who's been inconsistent at best. The Colts and T.Y. Hilton miss Andrew Luck.
Okay, before I get you out of here, you touched on there just a little bit of the schedules the next few weeks. We're coming to the end of the regular season. Are there some guys, Michael, that you look at here with the next 3 weeks saying, wow, what a great setup for them at any position? Doesn't matter what position.
The Bills have a very good strength of schedule coming up, which is why I told a lot of people to add Tyrod Taylor, try to trade for LeSean McCoy. The Chargers also have a very good schedule down the stretch. The Titans, outside of this weekend, they have a pretty good schedule down the stretch. At wide receiver, the Dolphins and the Raiders have a good schedule. The Chargers, Keenan Allen, could be a guy, if you traded for him at the deadline, that's going to make you look extremely smart. as my producer looks over the cube here because he just did that. I told him to trade for Keenan Allen. So if that doesn't work out, I'll be getting less airtime in the very near future. And the Eagles have a pretty favorable schedule for running backs. The problem is, who's getting the football? Lamar Miller has a very favorable schedule for the Texans. So these are players and teams that, whether or not they're in playoff contention in real football terms, could help fantasy owners reach the championship in their playoffs because the matchups are so favorable.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Have a great week.
Bye, pal. You too. Take care.
There's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. Every week we check in at the NFL Network with Michael Fabiano. You can see him on the air at the NFL Network and check out his content online at NFL.com and with us as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona before and after the Suns play Detroit. And we're back after this timeout. So coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll have Talk to the Lopes every Wednesday, Grand Canyon University. We partner with them. We have all their sports that we talk about this week. It'll be TJ Benson, Casey's brother, the assistant coach for Dan Marley, and GCU lost the other night. Lost at home to University of San Diego. So we'll talk to TJ Benson. They play St. John's next Tuesday night at Talking Stick Resort. Right before that game is the U of A Texas A&M game. And of course, U of A is not ranked, but that's next Tuesday night. As a hoopaholic, I may have to be there. Eric, have you been following Lane Kiffin? And I wrote last week that Ray should even talk to Lane Kiffin.
Of course he should.
Which, you know, these nitwits that think it just should be A plus B equals C, just go hire Kevin Sumlin. You should go talk to everybody because you don't want this job to come open all the time. Lane's 42. He's already coached in the NFL. He's bounced around. He's been fired a bunch of places.
Lane's kids live in California with his ex-wife. Sandy, from Phoenix to L.A. is much closer
than
wherever he is in Florida all the way across the country. So,
did you see the pictures of Lane Kiffin on the big rock that they have there at Tennessee? It says, bring Lane home. And he sent a note to Dan Mullen. Welcome to the state of FAU football.
It's funny.
It's really funny.
It's funny.
And, you know, he trolls on Nick Saban, and he doesn't take himself too serious for a guy who's gotten his butt blown out a few times.
Well, and he has sort of rehabbed himself at FAU. I mean, they've had a good season.
9-3.
They're going to a bowl. People are excited. And
yep.
It was a smart career move by him because he was at Alabama, and he thought, you know what? I can go to this little school in Florida that's surrounded by great recruits. And if I just win a little bit, all of a sudden I'm back on the map. And in less than a year, Lane Kiffin is back on the map. I mean, it was a year ago that he was squabbling with Saban, and then he just abruptly like walked out.
Sure.
Said, yeah, I'm gone. Sorry. And that's when Sarkisian started calling the plays in the playoff games. But that's an interesting name. I mean, that gets me way more excited than Herm Edwards.
Of all the names that are floating around out there, right, if you look at Lane Kiffin and what happened at USC, disaster. If you look at Lane Kiffin with the Raiders, disaster. But you look at Lane Kiffin, that was happening to him in his 30s. I don't know about you guys. Did you do dumb things when you were in your 20s and 30s? And do you get better? Do the scars make you better? When you go through the tough stuff, do the scars make you better? And the answer is yes. There's no perfect coach out there. Nick Saban got his ass run over when he's with the Dolphins, and he got out of there. Right? He figured it out. Is there a reason why Les Miles' name has not shown up in greater form? If Les Miles was Ray Anderson's guy, it'd already be done. So when you're giving me the it's got to be Les Miles, it has to be, you're just going with the same old recycled group. Look, I'm not sitting here saying Lane Kiffin would be my number one choice, but if I'm in Ray's chair, I do meet with Lane Kiffin. Absolutely. Meeting with guys doesn't mean, if you're going to go out and have coffee, doesn't mean you're going to ask her on a date the next time out. Okay? It's the same deal. Ray's meeting with Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards has done more to help this program in the last 24 hours because, I don't know, when was the last time Adam Schefter tweeted about ASU? Never. When was the last time that ESPN front-facing talent had this much buzz around them doing something? Never. So everything that Ray is doing here with Herm is only giving ASU a platform that they don't have. I hate to break the news to you. This has not been discussed, and it's never discussed as a big-time program outside of Arizona. National broadcasters can't even get the schools straight. The Arizona Sun Devils, no, I'm sorry, you screwed up again. It's like I just screwed up with Fabiano over the San Diego Chargers. It happens. You know, I mean, so you should be loving the fact that Ray is using one of his friends to get attention around this program like we've never seen. Dirk Cutter, did that move the radar when they hired Dennis Erickson? It moved it a little bit because it was Dennis Erickson. At the end of the day, a thing like Herm Edwards is just that, a thing. This Saturday or Sunday, they're going to meet. So what? Breathe. Let the process take place. What Jake said earlier was very smart on a lot of levels. I mean, going and getting Les Miles or... I had some people said, well, if Tennessee's interested in T. Martin, really? Do you want to do anything that Tennessee is interested in? They are a dumpster fire! Dumpster fire! That's it! The happiest people on the face of the planet today are the executives at ESPN that had to let go of 150 employees this morning, the same morning that Matt Lauer got blown out by NBC. Nobody saw it. Nobody's seen what's going on. Ray Anderson is putting this giant bullseye on his back, and rightly so. It's his job. I love that. I want people that take risks. I do. I don't want this. Do you think the Lisa Love era would have ever gone through that? No. Charles Harris? Steve Patterson? Kevin White? Gene Smith? Rinse, wash, repeat, hang up. I mean, that's what they do. I want something that is just screaming that we expect to win 10 games a year, every stinking year. No more El Paso. No more San Diego, unless it's like every 8 or 9 years. We're not going to the Foster Farms Bowl. The only time we're going to say Foster Farms when we're buying chicken. We're not going to the Vegas Bowl. That's what I want. It's really not that hard. It really isn't. So Herm Edwards is going to elevate this job. And you in the process may think that this is a joke that's going on, but I really believe Ray is using Herm and Herm's using Ray. And at the end of the day, if this is how it goes, which I would be stunned, it would go down as a great upset. It wouldn't be the worst move ever, but I would be stunned if this is the direction. These guys like Terrell Austin, Peter was on with me yesterday about it, they're in the midst of a playoff push. So it's hard for Ray to get that guy. I think he gave himself a bit of an out when he said it could be a month. Letter of intent day is December 20th. I don't see how that works, but that's just me sitting here. TJ Benson is next. Talk to the Lopes on the other side. Our Friday night 360 preview show with Haley and Jordan. The 4A, 5A, 6A state football championship games comes up in 15 minutes. Stay with us. All right, it is time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics, this week focusing in on the basketball program, the men's side. Their 11-game win streak came to an end against USD. Dan Marley called it a good loss. We'll get into that with TJ Benson here in a minute. They are home Saturday night against UC Riverside. And not to take away from that game, but Tuesday night, Talking Stick Resort Arena. U of A will be playing against Texas A&M, and then GCU and St. John's. You can see Grand Canyon, the Lopes. It'll be fun to see the Havocs outside of their comfort zone, and the GCU team actually outside their comfort zone. I think it'll be a good preparation. So all things with TJ Benson. Here's the thing on TJ. If you are in the high school, club, college basketball scene or aspire to be, the next voice you hear is someone that you will need to get to know. TJ is a gym rat. I've seen TJ around and around and around. He's in his fourth year as the assistant coach for Dan Marley. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Brad?
TJ, I am well. Let's start with the good loss quote from Coach Marley the other night against USD. And what does that mean for fans that were like, oh my gosh, they lost a game?
Honestly, it's something that's going to happen. I mean, we'd love to have gone undefeated this year, but the results aren't going to be that way. So for us, you know, it was kind of a learning moment, kind of a drop back to reality. I mean, our guys all, to be honest, I mean, San Diego, they outplayed us that night. There's a lot of little things that we needed to fix on our end, and it kind of showed us that earlier than we expected to. I mean, we would have loved to have beat those guys on Saturday, beat Riverside, and then, you know, everyone's kind of been hyping up the St. John's game next week. But for us, it's like I said, it was a learning moment that I think we're definitely gonna get better from.
What do you like about the team right now most? What do you like about this group, TJ?
You know, we always talk about, we've got a bunch of really good kids that want to work hard and want to learn, and I think that's why we continue to talk about how, you know, that game last week, I mean, it was a good loss in the sense that, you know, hey, we're not as good as we expected, or we're not as good as we want to be right now. And our guys all understand that. I mean, we got an experienced group of guys who have been with us. A lot of guys have been with us for a few years. You know, Keontae Vernon, Josh Braun, Jared Martin. My brother obviously has a ton of experience coming from Oregon, but our guys, they want to get better. They understand that, and they know that our goal ultimately is to to win three games in March, and hopefully end up getting to the, you know, the NCAA tournament. But it's going to be a process. It's a long road. It's not going to be easy. And I think that, you know, like I said, last Saturday was one of those games that, hey, you know, we're going to learn from it. We're going to get better, and we're going to move on.
Okay, so that's what you like. What do you want to fix on this team? What concerns you? What don't you like about this team right now?
You know, I mean, we've been talking about it. I mean, you lose a guy like Dwayne Russell last year, who was such a great isolation player. Obviously, averaged 21 a game. He created so much for other guys, and really, we coach has been harping on this week that we don't have a guy who can do that for us right now. We have guys who are capable of creating for others, but they got to do it in different ways. So, I think we're trying to figure out different ways to get guys be more effective on the floor. And you know, I think that we got to continue to get better defensively. I know we had a, you know, early on in the season we were talked, our defense was talked about, but last game it kind of showed that, hey, we have some areas that need to be improved upon as well.
It's interesting because from my view, TJ, at the start of the year, everything was about getting Josh back and having Casey on the court and let's develop these bigs. And there's some bigs I really like. And is that still the same feel around this team, that the guard play is going to pick up? You mentioned Dwayne Russell. Is it you're talking about Josh and Casey in particular having to pick it up?
No, I mean, honestly, it's something that those two guys are key components of our success this year.
Sure.
But they're not going to be the saviors that take us there. I mean, they're guys that, yes, we're going to count on them. We're going to lean on them with their experience. That's what you want. You want to have guys that have been around for as long as they have, especially in a situation like this where, hey, this is our first year of being eligible and we have a goal in mind. But, you know, you look at a guy like Oscar Frayer, Fifi Adu, you know, those guys are young, but they're continuing to get better. And I think that moving forward, I mean, it's not going to be about one guy or two guys. It's going to be about our entire team. And as you can see, we've played 10 guys, 10, 11 guys.
Yep.
So we have a lot of options. And I think it's about developing our team as a whole and getting everyone to buy into it together. And our young guys are going to be good. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's going to be about our experience and our overall depth of the team that's going to help us win a lot of games.
Okay, so I know you're focusing on yourself, but for the fans that are going to go Saturday night, give me a thumbnail on what you're going to face in UC Riverside, what they're all about this Saturday.
You know, they're going to be a bunch of hard-playing athletic kids that, in all reality, you know, they think they probably – they see us. We lost last week, and they, you know, they gave it to us last year at their place. I mean, it was one of our worst games, so it's we have a different team, they have a different team, but I think we you know, we owe them one. I mean, that was one game that we did not play well, and we had a lot of things going on. I think Josh Brown was still out at the time, and but again, you know, they beat a really good team in Cal, you know, they beat a Pac-12 team in Cal earlier in the year, so I think coming in, you know, we can't take them lightly. I mean, we've shown that, hey, we can't do that with anybody, no matter what, even if we are at home. As good as the Havocs and our student section and all the people that come there and make our environment so great, we can't take anyone for granted, and we have to kind of come in there and prove ourselves again and play with a chip on our shoulder.
All right, before you get out of here, and I don't want to demean Saturday, but there has been a lot of buildup towards the St. John's game. So just general terms, what will this mean to your program as you and Coach Marley and the team walk into that arena and playing in that environment against a national brand like St. John's? Now, you've done big games before, I get it, but they've been on the road, and this is a pretty darn big one for here in the Valley.
Oh, no, no question. I mean, you get a doubleheader with Arizona, Texas A&M, and St. John's is a really good team right now. They got a bunch of really good guards, and it'll be it will be another huge test for our guys. I mean, it'll show us really how tough we are as a team, as a program, and if we have, you know, if we continue to make strides in the right direction. I know that we, like you said, a lot of people have been hyping it up, and that's a good thing. I mean, I'd rather have expectations and people talking about us than nothing at all. So I think we'll be ready for it. This week has been awesome, just from the standpoint of getting tougher and getting back on the practice floor and having time to get our guys better and get each other, you know, going in the right direction again.
I appreciate the time and the visit, TJ. I'm going to try to get there on Saturday night with my son and take it in. So we'll hope to see you there on Saturday.
All right. Awesome. Sounds good.
There's TJ Benson. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University athletics, this week on the basketball program, Saturday night at home against UC Riverside. And then next Tuesday night, downtown at Talking Stick. You know, you're not a GCU fan. If you're just a college fan, a hoopaholic, I like to say. It's U of A against Texas A&M and GCU against St. John's. It doesn't get any better than that for college basketball, unless Arizona State's playing GCU, which, of course, is what I want to see. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.